New York City has the largest school system in the country with a global mix of students. But what WMYC and others have noticed is that city schools have become more segregated in the last decade. Many schools have high concentrations of poor kids, often Black and Latino. Meanwhile, savvy families compete for the schools they consider desirable, which tend to be mostly Asian and white and wealthier. In our series this week, Integration 2.0, we examine why school segregation is a problem and what it would take to change it. WMYC's Beth Fertig brings us a story unfolding in the East Village where parents and schools are seeking to mix up students in a whole new way.
The East Village is one of those neighborhoods where it looks, on the surface, like all types of New Yorkers are living on top of each other. You can see housing projects across the street from 100-year-old tenements with tiny studios now selling for $500,000. Within a couple of blocks on Avenue C alone, there's an oyster bar, a fancy cheese shop, and a longtime Puerto Rican restaurant. But this tremendous economic and racial diversity isn't reflected in the local public schools. Just ask Nandi Bozia.
I have three children.
When she moved back to New York a couple of years ago, she wanted a school that reflected the local community, a place where her African-American children wouldn't stick out.
I don't want my child to be like the case study and they finally came up from slavery and they broke the mold.
Along with that sense of comfort, she wanted what any parent wants, a good school. But when she looked around, she was disappointed.
There are but a few schools that are doing really, really well. And the vast majority are, like, say, if the rating is between 1 and 10, the vast majority were at maybe a 3.
There was something else, too. Those schools with the bad scores also happened to have mostly low-income Black and Latino kids. Bozia applied to one that had better scores and a wider mix of children from different backgrounds. She got lucky. Her daughter is now in third grade, and her son is starting kindergarten there this fall.
Yay!
Finding a good school with racial and economic diversity is more challenging than it should be here in District 1, which also includes the Lower East Side. On paper, almost half the kids are Latino, followed by Asians, Blacks, and whites. But there's a clustering effect, segregation. Low-income Black and Latinos are concentrated in struggling schools. Out of 17 elementary schools, only 5 of them have a significant number of white and wealthier kids. And these are some of the most sought-after schools in the neighborhood. How did this happen? Former Mayor Bloomberg encouraged a free market approach to education, which made it easier for families to apply to more schools. District 1 used to let principals consider race as a factor in school admissions. But that all stopped after a court ruling in 2007. Since then, segregation in District 1 has only gotten worse. Michael Alves designs admission systems for cities around the country, and he says kids are now paying the price.
There are consequences to decades and decades of segregated education. Not all the schools are equal. That some schools have been damaged.
Alves has been spending a lot of time talking to parents in District 1 about how to undo that damage. He's one of the architects of controlled choice, a way of reversing this de facto segregation. In this admission system, parents still have a choice in ranking their top schools, but the city controls how kindergarten students are distributed by looking at family income. So in District 1, where about 3/4 of the students qualify for free lunch, every school would aim for a similar percentage of incoming kindergarteners. The parent leaders in District 1 support this plan. Naomi Pena grew up in the neighborhood, and she's on the local education council. We're meeting in the children's room of a local library. Kids of all races are sitting at little tables reading with their parents.
Understanding that schools are segregated and fixing it is ultimately the end game here.
Pena says controlling for income could make a big difference.
You would see a representation of what District 1 really looks like. You know, District 1 has co-ops and condos. District 1 has public housing.
And she says that should improve the schools. Numerous studies have found kids from low-income families do better when they're mixed with students from wealthier families. And those other children do fine as well. But for controlled choice to work, parents need to like their options.
I'm all for desegregation and equality, but when it comes to my kid, I just want to make sure he's safe.
Paula Tersey is with her 2-year-old son, Otto, sitting on a bench in Tompkins Square Park. She supports the goal of the new plan, but when she thinks about Otto, she prefers one of the neighborhood schools with good academics, not the ones that are struggling or that are on streets she considers dangerous.
I taught in the South Bronx for years in a really bad neighborhood because it was important to me, and I believe in everyone having good education. I just also believe in his safety.
This is why some people fear controlled choice could backfire if families don't like their choices. Wealthy parents could simply leave if they get the schools they don't like. The city would also have to make sure everyone is educated about the process. Last fall, 700 kids applied on time for kindergarten in District 1, but another 200 enrolled after the deadline because they moved in late or didn't even know about their options. And controlled choice can't be a solution to segregation unless it's paired with school improvement. Michael Alves, who helped come up with a controlled choice system in Cambridge, Massachusetts more than 30 years ago, says New York neglected that side of the equation for too many years.
Right now you have choice in New York City, but I really don't understand why. What is it supposed to be doing? It's not connected to any issue that student assignment is connected to, like overcrowding, underutilization. What about schools that need some help?
One place that could benefit is PS15.
Some people have already published their books. Wow.
The school looks cheerful. There are colorful murals throughout the hallways, and these first graders are writing stories to go with photos of their neighborhood. But almost all of the kids are from poor families. In fact, 40% are living in transitional housing or shelters. The city sends them here because the school has a nurturing environment and because it has space. Middle-class families aren't choosing it. Principal Irene Sanchez says that's resulted in a type of segregation that isn't fair to the children.
When we talk about students learning and diversity, we talk about kids learning from each other, right? And so if everyone in that class or almost everyone in that class is at a high stress level, then that balance of learning from each other is not the same.
District 1 is using a grant from the state to improve PS15. Through a new enrichment curriculum aimed at attracting more middle-class families. And thanks to good word of mouth and a gifted and talented program, Sanchez now has 23 kindergarten students signed up for the fall, more than in recent years. But without a bigger shakeup to the admissions process, there's no guarantee a wider mix of kids will keep coming. For WNYC, I'm Beth Fertig.
For more on how controlled choice would work and our series, go to WNYC.org.